privilege, Lord. A privilege to do what you've created us to do. We thank you, Lord, for the visitation. Thank you for the encounters. Thank you for the words. Thank you for the healings. Thank you for the salvations. Thank you for the deliverances. Thank you for the shift in the heavenlies,
thank
Lord.
You, God.
Thank you, Lord, that we can participate with what you're doing and what you're saying, Lord. And we're not over in left field somewhere, but Lord, we're right front and center, right in the middle of your plan, right in the middle of your purposes. We praise you for that. We bless your name for that. We thank you, Lord. Lord, that when our eyes are on you, there is no distraction. Thank you, Lord, that our eyes are on you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I know many of you have had words and pictures and visions and crazy stuff that's happened this week in the wee hours of the morning and also during the day. And we shared some of them last night, and I was going around reading the rest, or as many as I could this morning at the tables. And our 24/7 prayer continues throughout this day, so we're in the middle of it. Just encourage you to come out this afternoon. Come out in the evening, and we're going to kick it off, the end of it, but really a new beginning, tonight at 7 with corporate worship again. And that will be the kind of the end point, I guess, for our 24/7. But I know Carly had a vision she wanted to share this morning, and I know there are many of them. I just really encourage you to take your time, and I know how we have plans. I understand that. But boy, I tell you, if you haven't been out here and you just haven't had an opportunity to just chill and be still and worship the Lord as you're just reading through the materials and lifting up who he is to who he is, oh man, you're missing something. So just take advantage of it today. Really encourage you to do it. You know, you don't have to go to Chick-fil-A. You know, just come and hang out here. Nothing wrong with Chick-fil-A.
They're closed on Sunday.
But let's just use that opportunity. What do you say?
They're closed on Sunday anyway.
Oh, they're closed on Sunday. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Good idea. Okay, well, you know, come and join us. That would be awesome. So, Carly, come here. She's got... That's good. Oh, my gosh. She had a vision she wants to share with you guys.
Yes, the Lord gave me this picture yesterday morning when I was here, and I was able to actually draw it, which was fun. And I've seen visions of this before, and so it was just really cool. And it says, the Lord is pouring barrels of glory on the children at Frontline, young and older.
Weird.
So, because we know that age is just a number, and we're just all God's children. Yeah. And what I saw was
Don't be fooled.
Giant dump buckets that they have at like the indoor water parks. Like, that's the size of the barrel of the glory that the Lord is pouring out. And if you've ever been to one of those, it's really fun because they have, like, a siren or something that goes off before the dump bucket dumps. And all the kids, like, swarm underneath it. So I just saw just our body, just all of the kids, just all of us, you know, children before the Lord, just swarming just to the center and just receiving the glory that the Lord is pouring out on us. And it wasn't just buckets. It wasn't just drops. It was a barrel of glory that he was just pouring out. And we were just rejoicing in the glory, just dancing and just enjoying it as it washed over us like a flood. Thank you, Lord.
How many received that? Huh? All right. That's so cool. All right. There were some other really cool visions. So if there was one you had that was just, you know, you're stirred inside going, ah, I want to share it, then come. But Lawrence had something about phase one, phase two, and phase three, about kingdom wealth. Yes, you did. Come here. I read it. And we're in phase one, you said, remember? That's from you.
That's
Eno. Is that yours? Was it you? Did you have something about... Did you have that? Okay, come here. Come here, Ina. Stay here. Stay here. Stay here.
That's fun. Yeah. It's true.
Well, I saw I was praying there. Actually, I was praying for businesses in the beginning, and then I just sat there. Okay, Lord, I'll shut up, and what do you have to show me? And I, yes, it's a good place to shut up. And and I saw this church building or a house, a picture, and then I saw this kind of like a vat, but it's kind of like a triangle shape. And there's phase one, phase two, and phase three. And there's a small vat on top of our roof that's already opening. And the vat is full of money, like paper money. I saw a lot of money. And it's actually flying already. And that's money. What's actually financing the church right now. But then there's phase two, and there's a vat bigger than that. It's actually bigger than this building. And the first vat is like exactly the same size of the roof, and then the second one is bigger than the building, and there's also money in there. But God is saying the phase one has to be finished first, and then phase two will open when that money is all empty, and then that money is to finance a new building, the phase two.
Well, I'm going to piggyback this because I do believe there's much value in that, but I also believe that God is a God of surprises, and He does not limit us to phases in any way. So it's not contradicting you, it's just biggie-sizing it. And I believe that the Lord is saying, you can have as much of me as you want, and this is, Dylan, I don't know if you're here. He's not here. Okay. He also had a picture of 2012 diamond studded. And so, you know, I really believe that what we want to do in our thinking, you know, the way that we like to generate ideas, there's something that was written back here. I think it was from Andy about creating now. Was that you, Andy?
Yeah.
Come here, Andy. You can. This is just kind of like, this is what the Lord likes to do. He'll take some pictures, take some words, and then He puts His dot, His stamp on it. So it's not that Ina's wrong. It's not that Andy's wrong. He says, I'm not giving anybody just, this is, okay, hello, here's what I'm doing exactly. I'm going to give you all a piece, and we're going to put it together. So share what you shared, and it's going to add to what she said.
It was back at the Media and Creative Arts table near Jesse, and I think. And basically it was real simple from the Lord, and I just heard the word create. And then it was another line, and it was just creation from my intimacy. And then it was just create again. And then at the end, it was just now. Like, it's that simple.
That's the now that as you're reading the visions, as you're reading the words, as you're reading the pictures, and you're having them yourself, that you want, that's the posture you want to take. When we were singing this morning about we are the generation. You know, I'm singing, I am the generation. I have destiny. I have royalty. I expect that outpouring now. And so what we don't want to do, and this is not what you were saying or meaning, is limit ourselves to phases. Phase one, phase two, phase three. Because if we do that, then phase one must happen a certain way, the way we think, and then phase two will happen the way we think, and phase three will come. It's not that God doesn't build, but I want you to think about that in terms of creativity. So you can take these visions, and there may be some other ones that we can look for when we're reading through these booklets and say, God, what are you saying for the now, for me right now, and for this church right now? Okay? Because we challenged a pastor in Asia. We'll leave it at that. We challenged a pastor who said to us, this is how revival's going to look. This is where it's going to start. This is the way it's going to happen. And I thought, oh, I just love your spirit. I love your heart. But I just don't think you're right. Because I don't think God has given you the final word on exactly how He's going to do it. I didn't say it that way. But it's the truth. And I do believe that we have history, and I do believe we have things to look at in the past of how God has always done it before. But how many of us know today's a new day? Who wants to believe that today is a new day, new revelation? We take the past, we study it, we learn it, we own it, and we live and bring the future into now. And that's different thinking. It takes different thinking. It can only come by revelation. So when you're going through these booklets and you're having these words from the Lord, get them and then say, so what are you saying for me and what are you saying now? Because I think it's going to look a little different. I think we're going to be surprised. I really do. I think there are going to be things that are going to happen that are going to blow our boxes that don't look like what we think it's going should look like. And we have to make sure that we're unlocked enough to say, Lord, this is a new day of creativity, and I'm expecting big outpouring right now. Not in 2013, not in 2014, but right now. Who wants to agree with that? Okay, right now. So Andy, I'm just going to pray the right now out in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just thank you in Jesus' name. That, Lord, very simply, your word is now. Hey, now in Jesus' name, Lord, that now is the time. Lord, of the kingdom invasion, Lord, here in the U.S., Father, here in the nations, Father, we thank you, Lord, that now you're blowing our boxes in Jesus' name. Lord, that now we have a transformation in our thinking, Lord, in Jesus' name. And that, Lord, hey, that now, Father, is the time of reformation, Lord. Hey, in the church, Father, that you're going to shape holy and change, Father, our revelation and understanding of your kingdom, Father, in one generation. Hey, because you're that amazing. You're that wonderful. Lord, you're the beginning and the end, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the now being released in this body, Father. And I pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that as we, Lord, in the natural, Father, we would say we come to a conclusion of this 24/7 prayer week, Lord. We thank you that it's not an ending, Lord, but it's a beginning, Father, of what you're doing, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And that this next, quarter, Father, of this year, Father, of this diamond-studded year, Father, we'll just see amazing increase, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, that you're doing it now. And just two things really quickly. The Lord just showed me his big, awesome foot. Just coming down and just stepping on our little cardboard boxes of how we think the Lord's going to do it. He's just like, smoosh. With no effort. I mean, he's God, so he can do what he wants. So he's just... And... the second picture I just had this morning when we were in worship and we were in that intense place of awesome drumming and warfare or whatever and releasing our destiny. What sometimes what the Lord gives me impression of is, I don't know if you guys remember the old World War II fighter planes that would fly and they would bomb and all that stuff, which probably wasn't good, but they would have different people positioned on the plane, and I gave this word to Mike and Jamie one of the early mornings, but they would have different people positioned on the plane in defensive positions to protect the plane. And they were gunmen at different spots that actually there was a full rotation of where they could shoot and where they could aim and take down the enemy when he was trying to come at him to take him down. And just what I saw this morning in the spirit when that like boom, 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 boom was going was that was us manning our stations defensively in the spirit and just mowing down the enemy, mowing down his attempts to come and try and take down the vehicle which is flying for the Lord's purposes and kingdom. And so, not to stretch that too far, but I would say that fighter plane would be this ministry and what he's calling us to do in the nations and the enemy trying to take it down, so...
Real quick, I just wanted to make an announcement to remind everyone about the National Day of Prayer Bible Reading Marathon that takes place in Courthouse Square in downtown Canton. It starts April 29th at 4 p.m. and goes to 11 a.m. on May 3rd. And basically, it's 24 hours a day during that time. There are people reading the Bible. And as a frontline, we typically take the late night, early morning, middle of the night hours, as you know, we have been called to be watchmen on the walls at that time. And we still have a lot of slots open. They're 2-hour slots going from 12 a.m. to 8 a.m. If you haven't signed up already or have signed up and, you know, want to sign up for another shift, we encourage you to. It's good to have, you know, at least one other person to go there with so you're not going down there by yourself in the middle of the night. But this will be on the back table or the in the foyer with all our other information and stuff. So yes, after church today, please sign up. Awesome. Oh, and we release the children to Kingdom Land.
because I got to. There we are. Hey, I'm on. Awesome. Hey, just because the children are gone, let's not let all the excitement leave the room. Yes, Lord. Spoken by a daughter, of course. Father, we thank you, God, that you're doing a deep work inside of us. Oh, it would be terrible if we just wanted to play church. We have too many voices in this body that won't allow it, and we thank you for those voices, whether they came forth this week, or whether they came forth today, or in messages the last few weeks. We receive what was said, and we pray that you would give us open hearts for what will be said today. Lord, I'm kind of excited to see what's going to be said today. You know, just kind of lead me along, Holy Spirit. I'm willing to go a different direction than what I have planned out, because I can plan my way, but you direct the steps. I'm willing, Lord. Been fully challenged by the voices that have come out this week, by the worship this week, Lord. It's been awesome to see your Spirit move. People coming in as strangers in a meeting and leaving affected by your Spirit. Wow. How do you accelerate it that much? It used to be 3 or 4 times people would have to visit before they decided whether Holy Spirit was in a place. Lord, you've accelerated that for us. Thank you. We can't drum that up. We can't make that happen. We just want people to be in touch with you, whether they stay one service or they stay a lifetime. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Spirit of God. Speak today, clearly today. Touch hearts without condemnation. Touch hearts without shame. But touch hearts for repentance. Touch hearts for challenge. Touch hearts for a new rung on the ladder, one up higher, one or 2 or 3 rungs higher, Lord. We ask for that from glory to glory, and we trust you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, anyone know what today is in history? Yeah, 100 years ago, on this day, the Titanic sunk. April 15th, 1912. So, you know, maybe Rick or Tony, you know, they could tell us about it. I don't know. No, no. I think they're younger than me, so I guess I'd have to be the one. But I can remember 22 years ago, I gave a message on the Titanic, believe it or not, and it was in reference to some things in the scriptures. It's an amazing thing to study in history. I used to be a history major in college, and there's only been really 2 areas that I have since enjoyed even taking a look at for very long, because I'm not really a student of history as much as I want to catch some lessons and see how they apply spiritually. That's the way I look at it anymore. But one is the Titanic disaster, and the other is the Revolutionary War period. So I just thought that we should, with this wave of people really feeling like, wow, there's gonna be a new wave of revival come in soon, like now. And that's been the voice this week. It's now, it's now. What does that mean for us individually and personally? Because, of course, we want to draw into the presence of Jesus. We've done that all week, and we continue to do that everywhere we go in the world, as well as minister. And we can rally around that and enjoy the fruits of that and the partying of that and so on, but there's also a sobering aspect to revival. And revivals in the past have reached people with the gospel. They've reached out in ways that they never intended. You talk to Mel Tari, the Indonesian revival, back a few decades. He wrote a book called Like a Mighty Wind. He doesn't talk much about the miracles. I thought when I met him that he would talk about the miracles. You know, tell me about these miracles that happened during the Indonesian revival. And I thought he would just go on for hours about all the miracles and how cool it is and what Jesus did. But instead, he talks about the lost and pretty much says, and he's been here to speak and say that in going for the lost, the miracles started happening. And sometimes they didn't even know they happened. They would go to the lost and people would report to them, oh, by the way, while you were going to that village, a miracle took place as you were going. Let us tell you about it. And then he would recognize the miracles. He would recognize the signs and wonders. And so when you meet him and talk to him, and hear him speak, it's all about the lost. And that these miracles, signs, wonders, healings, deliverances, and closeness even with Jesus is in the midst of becoming laborers in the harvest field and reaching out to the lost. So what does that have to do with the Titanic? Yeah, that's where it's going to be a little bit. How do I do that? But I think I'll start with this. April 14th, 1912, 11:40 p.m. It is too late. Frederick Fleet has just cried down from the crow's nest to the bridge of the Royal Mail ship Titanic. Iceberg, right ahead. But First Officer Murdoch cannot stop the ship. He can do no more than turn the liner slightly to port left before the berg gouges a path of destruction along the ship's starboard right side. The sea pours into six openings, flooding the forepeak, three cargo holds, and two boiler rooms. If only four cargo holds had flooded, the ship would have remained afloat. Six punctures in the hull mean it will not survive. In just 2 hours and 40 minutes, the RMS Royal Mail ship, Titanic, the largest passenger ship in the world, will sink with a loss of 1,517 lives out of 2,223 on board. Its resting place, over 12,000 feet beneath the waves, 2.5 miles. During the early hours of Monday, April 15th, the ship's architect, Thomas Andrews, will give the Titanic only about an hour to live. He himself will make no attempt to survive the sinking. Captain E.J. Smith will see a nearby ship that fails to respond to the distress rockets. This mystery ship is so close that some lifeboats will try to row to her until she finally disappears, apparently sailing away from a rescue. Second Officer C.H. Lightoller will break out handguns so that the crew can be armed against panic-stricken passengers. Chief Telegrapher Jack Phillips had scolded the operator of the Californian's wireless for interrupting his traffic, the Californian's another ship. His traffic with Cape Rice, Newfoundland, The Californian stands at most only 20 miles away, and operator Cyril Evans only wanted to tell Phillips about ice in the vicinity. Upon receiving Phillips' rebuke, he turned off his set and went to bed. The crew will send away the first lifeboats half empty because the British Board of Trade has neglected to inform captain and staff that the boats are safe to be filled on the boat deck and can be safely lowered to the water at full capacity. Lightoller will lower the first boat away with only 28 passengers in it, fearing the boat may break apart in the air. Third class passengers, only 25% of whom will survive, will learn there are not enough lifeboats left to save them. There were only 20 lifeboats on the Titanic. They needed 48. So there was not even enough lifeboats for the number of passengers that they had, and it wasn't even at full capacity. They could have 3,500 passengers, and they had less than 2,500, but there still wasn't enough lifeboats. Only two lifeboats out of the 20 launched will make a serious effort to rescue the freezing passengers in the water, water estimated to be 28 degrees. So when does freezing start? 32 degrees. How does that work? Salt. Although there is a room in the rescue boats for an additional 400 people, all lifeboats will be reluctant to return to the scene of the disaster, either for fear of being swamped or for fear of being sucked under by the fall of the Titanic to the bottom. So not enough lifeboats. Rescue ships, one turns off its communication to a ship that's in distress or will be soon. They sent out reports from the California to the Titanic and said, ice, there's ice everywhere. Wireless guys too busy sending messages to the mainland. It was kind of a new thing, and so all the passengers wanted their messages sent. Lots of messages came in that there were ice fields everywhere, and yet they didn't pass on the messages. On and on it goes. Distress signals everywhere, but no one receiving them. A boat passes by that no one's been able to identify. So close that when they got into the lifeboats, they could see it and even rowed towards it, but it made no attempt to save anyone. The ship line was accused of trying to just make it across the Atlantic as quick as possible. It was the first time the ship ever sailed. And it was not designed to be a fast ship. It was designed to be a luxury ship. But they still wanted to see if they could get in the newspapers by getting across the Atlantic very quickly. So they didn't take the normal precautions. And when you look at some of the pictures of the ice fields, it's like there was ice everywhere in April. So the captain, one day before he took a southerly route, made a little bit of an adjustment when they thought that there might be ice in the area. He wasn't even receiving the reports, but he just thought, there might be some ice in the area. We'll go 16 miles to the south. And he actually went through a much more dense ice field. So many things went wrong, and it went down in less than 3 hours. Women and men on one side of the boat, women and children on one side of the boat, the officer basically had a gun, a handgun, and said only women and children. On the other side of the boat, if the women and children looked like they had filled the lifeboat, he let men go on. Oh, yeah, go, get on. I mean, they were supposed to have a drill the day before with the lifeboats. This is how you do it. Let's have a drill. And it was a little cold on the deck, so they canceled the drill. So it was mass confusion when it came time for them to load the lifeboats. Officers didn't know what to do. Passengers didn't know what to do. People trapped below decks. All kinds of mass confusion. And it went down so quickly that 1,500 passengers estimated were on the ship when it plummeted into the waters. And some of them, like it said, only a couple lifeboats went back to try to rescue anyone in the waters. They were so worried about being sucked in with the ship when it went down. It was so huge. And so after it went down, this is some of what they heard. And they can't even describe it. These are by people that actually were rescued. Of all those 1,500 people flung into the sea as Titanic went down, innocent victims of thoughtlessness and apathy of those responsible for their safety, only a very few found their way to the Carpathia. That was the ship that showed up 4 hours later to pick up those out of the lifeboats and look around for survivors. But in 28 degree temperatures for the water, 4 hours, they didn't find anybody. It will serve no good purpose to dwell any longer on the scene of helpless men and women struggling in the water. The heart of everyone who has read of their helplessness has gone out to them in deepest love and sympathy, and the knowledge that their struggle in the water was in most cases short and not physically painful because of the low temperature. The evidence seems to show that few lost their lives by drowning is some consolation. If everyone sees to it that his sympathy with them is so practical as to force him to follow up the question of reforms personally, not leaving it to experts alone, then he will have at any rate done something to atone for the loss of so many valuable lives. This person didn't want to describe what they heard. The next one is an officer who was sucked down as the Titanic went down, and miraculously some kind of a blast of air threw him back up to the surface. Fortunately, the scene that followed, well, it says, almost like a benediction, everyone round me on the upturned boat, this is a lifeboat that he happened to cling to with one rope, breathed the two words, "She's gone." Fortunately, the scene that followed was shrouded in darkness. Less fortunately, the calm, still silence carried every sound with startling distinctness. To enter into a description of those heart-rending, never-to-be-forgotten sounds would serve no useful purpose. I never allowed my thoughts to dwell on them, and there are some that would be alive and well today had they just determined to erase from their minds all the memory of those ghastly moments, or at least until time had somewhat dimmed the memory of that awful tragedy. So he won't describe it. In fact, he doesn't even want to think about it. But there are passengers that did describe it. If a ship is torpedoed, that's war. If it strikes a rock in a storm, that's nature. But just to die because there weren't enough lifeboats, that's ridiculous. I saw that ship sink. I never closed my eyes. I didn't sleep at all. I saw it. I heard it. And nobody could possibly forget it. The panic seemed to me to start after the boats had gone. We could hear it. But when we were in the boat rowing away, then we could hear the panic of the people rushing about on the deck and screaming and looking for lifeboats. I could only tell you I was terrified. It's quite impossible to use another word for it. I was absolutely terrified, as anyone would be. Oh, it was dreadful. The bow went down first and the stern stuck up in the ocean for what seemed to me like a long time. Of course it wasn't, but it stood out stark against the sky and then heeled over and went down. And you could hear the people screaming and thrashing about in the water. And finally, the ghastly noise of the people thrashing about and screaming and drowning that finally ceased. I remember saying to my mother once how dreadful that noise was, and I always remember her reply. She said, "Yes, but think back about the silence that followed it, because all of a sudden, it wasn't there. The ship wasn't there. The lights weren't there, and the cries weren't there. When the dawn came, and we were being picked up by the Carpathia, I wasn't in the same lifeboat with her. I spent the rest of the night screaming for her, and I found her, of course, on the Carpathia. She was looking for me, and I was looking for her. That must have been quite dreadful for people like my mother, who would look round to see if my father had, by any chance, made it." And, of course, he didn't. Here's another passenger. "There arose to the sky the most horrible sounds ever heard by mortal man, except by those of us who survived this terrible tragedy, the agonizing cries of death from over 1,000 throats, the wails and groans of the suffering. None of us will ever forget to our dying day." So that's something that happened in history, but we hear the same thing in the Bible. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be those that will be separated from God at the end of time. And they will go to a place where there will be just forever anguish. And we don't hear preach fire and brimstone. But fire and brimstone's real. We preach love. God's love extends to each one of us. He's seeking to save those. He wants to find us. He has the Father's heart of love and compassion to come after us when we're lost. He wants to show us parables about seeking a lost coin and a lost son and a lost lamb, putting the lamb on his shoulders. But for us, it might be good for us to realize that there is going to be a day when people are going to be separated from him, more than we've allowed ourselves to realize that. We have spent a week praying for many people that are lost, prodigals, for people to be healed. There are people in the body of Christ that have Jesus, but they're kind of lost in their own world, their own needs. There are some in this body. It's a need a minute that is brought before the Lord. And I'm saying this morning that we might pause and start thinking, you know, how are we going to get a revival done? How's there going to be a revival unless the lost are won as part of that revival? It has to be part and parcel of that. And the love of God has to be so real, it rescues people. So consider this morning, you need to be a lifeboat, and one that has no capacity. You're not going to just be filled up with the few people you've already won to the Lord, or those that will be won to the Lord from your life. But you need to have a lifeboat that's just ready and willing to take in every passenger, spend some time with them, rescue them, you know, by the Lord's work through you. This isn't supposed to be something that condemns you. Well, you haven't been doing enough. Let's go. What's the matter with you? But it's to refocus us on what the harvest has to do with revival. It has everything to do with revival. When we spend time in His presence like we have this week, it's so that we can go to the harvest field. So we are the laborers. We don't become laborers. We're already laborers. We're either good or bad laborers. And it's not, I'm not saying, you know, well, I'm going to go around and say, well, you're a bad one, you're a good one. No, but we either are effective or we're not effective. Maybe that's a better way to express it. As laborers in the harvest field. And as I was thinking about this, I just was personally challenged again that this is about people's lives. That in a sense, their spirits, even though dead, until Christ comes in and gives them life, they're crying out for the life of God. They're crying out, like those people in that cold ocean 100 years ago, they're crying out and saying, I need something more than I have. And we had some walk in this week, and maybe some of them were even believers, and they still were crying out for more of God. That happens too. It's not just the lost. It's the ones that are lost away from God, in a sense, that are Christians. They can't seem to find direction. They can't seem to allow Jesus to heal everything in them and refocus them that it's about the harvest. It's not about you or me. It's about the harvest. It's about those souls that are crying out, I need an answer. I need something to fill my life with joy, and I'm not getting it. And we saw them overseas, everywhere we went, Indonesia and Singapore, people that shouldn't talk to us, but there was too much of the light of Jesus in us. And believe me, I'm glad it was shining out, but I don't know how it shined out of me, but it did. It shined out of each of the team members, four team members, and people would just accelerate the amount of time that they would get to know us and tell us what their deepest problem was. And they, you know, presented themselves to be rescued. They wanted to get into a lifeboat. They're on a sinking ship. Every one of those people. And we're, you know, so prone, myself included, to look past people. Well, you know, that'd be kind of a little tough to start up a conversation. They look lost. I mean, I can look in their eyes and, man, but how do I start? But if in this season of revival, God is willing to accelerate the amount of breaking the ice time, just start. You can just start. You can fumble around with your words and he'll get it done. I remember leading someone to the Lord when a whole entire band was practicing, a high school band, and we couldn't hear one another. And God wanted to save that person so much. I was discombobulated because of all the noise. They weren't. Their spirit was just crying out, I need him. I want him. And they received him in all this din, all this noise. I was like, how in the world did that happen? It's because the love of God can get through all the noise in their life. He can rescue them. And they are much more needy than they're showing on the outside. They're much more ready than they're showing on the outside. The harvest is white. It's ready. Time for the picking. It's time for the bringing in the fruit. And he can't wait for us to have eternity stamped on our eyeballs. And it's just like we're thinking about that as we meet people, as we're around people. And we have good examples in this body because they chase people down and tackle them in the parking lot. I love it. You know, because it encourages me to do the same thing in love, of course. But to tackle people with love. But some, once they're tackled, they want to hang on to a few things. That's the labor of the ministry, isn't it? Leading someone to Christ, man, that's joy. But of course, there's a labor after that of helping them see, no, you really can't hang on to that lifestyle and love Jesus. The two are not compatible. You can't do some of these things and think you're going to draw into the presence just because your feelings say so. Oh, I like worship. Oh, wow. But I'm sinning like crazy out here. Of course you're going to have a feeling towards God. You're going to feel drawn, and you might even put your arms out or up and dance around a little bit. But unless you give over that lifestyle, put your little kingdom under his massive kingdom and submit fully to his love, hanging on to these things, you will never be satisfied. You'll be the most miserable of people to try to hang on to a lifestyle that you say, no, God, you're not taking this away from me. I won't give that up in order to follow you. You're not giving anything up. It's not something to hang on to. It's not worth it. Because you'll just be miserable. You'll have so much of Jesus and so much of the world. The two don't go together. It's a bad mix. It just doesn't work. And the Lord shows us that out of love. He's not sitting around with his finger going, no, 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 just so we won't have any fun. I mean, we should, of all people, be the most joyous and have the most fun in life. Christians, those that love the Lord, those that love his presence. So if you're hanging on to some lifestyle, some decision that you know the Lord's not happy with, and you're just going to explain it away, I don't care, I need it, I want it, I'm taking it, and you haven't fully surrendered to Jesus. You can't become a laborer. You'll be constantly figuring out how to make your argument to him, I need to keep this part of the lifestyle. I need to keep this part. I need to keep this part. And you won't be thinking of the harvest field. You won't be thinking of the people that, you know, you meet, see, so on, that need Jesus. You'll be battling with him over trying to keep this part of a lifestyle that you aren't supposed to have. Release it. Release it. People need rescued. People need us to touch their lives. We're the ones with the answer. Jesus, fully, completely. The more they see him in us, the more they're affected. I was so encouraged in Indonesia that we were in this meeting at maybe 30, 40 people in a business. The lady has a Bible study, I think once a week or something. And I started worship, and the woman came up afterwards during the healing time and said, you know, I was healed during worship. I'm like, oh, yes. That's sweet. I've been waiting for more of that, Lord. That someone's going to say, I was healed in worship before the healing time started. Hey, I want that to increase for us. I want people to be rescued as soon as possible. As soon as the first strum on the guitar, the first song starts. Not, you know, an hour or two into the meeting when our emotions are into it also. But when we're just fresh off the pavement, fresh out of the battle, and we come in here and, oh, we're just hit right away. I want that for every person. Every person that comes in these doors, every time we go out from these doors to other places and minister, I want the Spirit of God to hit them quick and hit them hard and rescue them. And I know you want that too. That's part of revival. And seeing something different. It shouldn't look the same as it has. It should be constantly changing, constantly different. People should be running up to us to get rescued. And they are. They are. Some pretty hard cases are starting to run up to some of us. Get ready. But if we're looking at our navel and looking inside going, oh, I want to keep that part of my lifestyle. I don't want to give that up to Jesus. You're not going to be looking out towards the harvest field. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss the people running right up to you, needing Jesus, wanting Jesus. It's not the time to give out theology and arguments. It's the time to give out the real Jesus. And they can see him in us. I used to think, man, if I can just, Tom will identify with this one, if I can just get enough, you know, of those arguments and talk about all the scriptures that were prophecies about Jesus coming and lay that out for a person and argue them into the kingdom. I can use this wonderful mind that God gave me and can argue them into the kingdom. Well, I found out that people came with questions, a list of questions. I'd answer everyone. Oh, yeah. I could answer everyone. You know what they did? Just came back with another list of questions. I never got anywhere. So I give my testimony, and that seemed to work more than 2 hours of answering their questions. A simple testimony of what happened in my life. And nowadays, I can give a testimony of what happened this week to them. That makes more of an impression than a testimony of receiving Christ 40 years ago. Something that happened this week that seems unrelated to giving out the gospel. But you see, we're giving out Jesus. You're giving out Jesus. He has to be alive. He has to be alive. He has to be the lifeboat. He has to be the Carpathia that all our little lifeboats are taking to the big boat that's going to take us all the way to safety. And unless they believe that that boat's out there, they're just going to be, you know, kind of in a lifeboat going, I don't think we can make it to Newfoundland. I don't think we can make it to New York from here. You know, and it's going to be almost as scary as before they became a believer. But if they know they're going to be attached to the big ship that's going to get them there, get them to the promised land, wow, it makes all the difference in the world. So I can explain to someone, yeah, there's this big ship out there. Hey, we're in our little lifeboat here. We're going to make it to the big ship. And, you know, it's going to get us to the promised land. They go, what's the big ship look like? Well, I describe it. You know, it has this much tonnage, and it's this high, and it's this wide, and it's this long. The Titanic, by the way, was almost 3 football fields. Used to take kids out in 6th grade, you know, after they look in books, you know, and they try to show how big it is in a book. And we would measure it off, 882.5 feet. Oh, my golly, that's a long ways. You had to have a big schoolyard to do that one. And it was like, wow, this thing's big. But it went down. But the rescue ship, smaller, but it was the rescue ship. So you could describe that to them, you know, oh, yeah, yeah. But until they're actually on that ship, until they really experience that rescue fully, you know, they could be floundering around in just a lifeboat and then they don't quite get it. So we want to give them Jesus, not just a message. It's great to lay out the gospel for them, but we want to give them the real Jesus by the way we live, by the way we worship. And I'm proud of you guys. You do. You do. Many, many, many times. And I think you do more than you think you do. So be encouraged with that. And of course, there's always someone here that's going to hear from the Spirit of God. Okay, I'm not in that group. I'm hanging on to a lifestyle that's not pleasing to the Lord. And I don't have to say anything. I don't have to go up to you and go, you know, hey, you're hanging on to a lifestyle. It's not pleasing to the Lord. I'm the pastor. You should listen to me. All you have to do is listen to the Spirit of God. He's telling you enough. I can see your face. I don't have to go up and, you know, run you through the ringer. You know, drag you beside the lifeboat. Yeah, we're going to get to the rescue ship, but you deserve the icy water. You know, I don't have to do that. Praise God. That's not my job. It's Holy Spirit's job. He wants to drag you through some cold water. And eventually you will wake up. So, you know, what's God's heart on this? Does he want anyone to perish? Answer, no. Does he love completely? Absolutely. How does he go after people? With compassion and with a passion to go after them. He's passionately involved in the harvest field. He's seeking those that he wants saved. He's, you know, he can't wait to put that lamb on his shoulders. And he does it with love. But there will come a day. And it's sobering to us. Because we don't want to avoid these passages just because we know about the love of God. Because part of the love of God is truth. Why would you want to be lied to? There is no place of final destiny that will hurt anyone. God's too compassionate. God's too loving. He wouldn't let that be. Well, if they choose that, He would have to violate their will. He prepared it for the devil and his angels and, you know, the beast and all those guys of Revelation. He prepared it for them alone. Everybody else can be exempt. Receive Jesus, you're exempt. You don't have to go. You don't even have to be afraid of it. I'm not afraid of the ultimate resting place for those that don't know Jesus. I'm not afraid of that personally. Never have been since I received Jesus. No, that's part of the peace. That's part of the joy. Knowing that's not my place. That's not where I'm going to be. And now in this age of having heaven come to earth, wow, we can experience heaven now? When I was growing up, it was always, you know, the sweet by and by, and, you know, don't cry, you'll be there sooner or later. Don't, it's not a lie, you know, whatever. You know, I was going to make it, and that was okay, but it's way in the future, and I was, you know, 10 years old or whatever. Okay, I'll make it. That'll be good. Now, we can experience parts of that now. Heaven, he wants heaven to come to earth. Whoa, what does that mean? More than I'll ever know. But we're starting to, you know, see some of the results of that. People getting healed, delivered, marriages being brought together in sweetness. People actually approaching someone that knows something about how to live in Jesus and saying, how can I do that? I grew up in a church where the pastor was up front, gave the message. Those that got it, fine. Those that didn't, fine. He visited people to have them come to the church to make his church bigger. He didn't visit them to counsel with them, because no one went to the pastor to get counsel. No. You know, if he came over for coffee, everybody in the house was shook up. What's he doing here? What's he doing here? They would never really talk to him from their heart. But we've already admitted, both of us, as pastors here, that, hey, we're on the journey with you. We have things in our life we're contending for to see changed in our hearts, lives, personalities. Well, I don't know if those change, but you know, things to change inside of us. And you're along for the ride with us. And we might know a few things about Jesus and Holy Spirit because we've allowed him to work in our lives. Let us help you. And some of you actually want that. You want help. You want to go forward. You want to go higher. And you talk to us. Sweet. We don't feel like the plague. I know that pastor back in my youth, he felt like the plague of the small town we were in. You know, 1,500 people and only two people would talk to him like a real person. Everybody else, he's the pastor at the Baptist church. Yeah, that's the... And they don't like Catholics. You know, so. You know. Wow. It's a new day. Okay, Matthew 25. If you dare, this sobering passage. Matthew 25:31. Guess I'm in the right place. There it is. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Just a note on these actions. This doesn't mean that you run out and start having dinners at your house. They were hungry. Let's find some hungry and feed them. Okay, number one, checked off. Then, you know, you got some thirsty people. You invite them over. They're next. These people are thirsty, I can tell. They need a little Gatorade. Okay, a Gatorade party. Okay, we got those taken care of. I was a stranger. Go out and find a stranger. Invite them into your house for a week. Okay, we can check that off. Naked, and you clothed me. Now, that one might be a little touchy. Okay, but, you know, maybe you can start, you know, a clothing bank at your house and invite people in that have clothes that could make them naked in not too short of a time, you know. They got holes in them or something. I don't know, but sometimes that's the style, so you got to be careful with that. Okay, but you could check that one off, I'm sure. You could find a way to check that one off. Sick, you know, fine. You know, we've gone through a week where we've prayed over this, you know, prayed for the sick and so on, so you probably got that one checked off this week. Prison, and you came into me. Came in me? Okay. Hey, we can start a prison ministry, and many people can sign up for that. And we'll rotate. You know, each person will get their chance to do the prison ministry, and they'll get that one checked off. You think that's really the way it is? Because that's the way I've heard this preached. I think these are actions of love. You know, that's what they are. Some of you have done some that aren't on this list. Do they not count? Because they're not on this list. I'm sorry, buying them Starbucks does not work. I drove through the Starbucks one morning, and the woman says, "You don't owe me anything." Wow, wow! I didn't think I was that handsome. And she said, "No, no, no, no. The person in front of you paid for your Starbucks." And I was like, "Gosh, that's just like a Bill Johnson book." Wow, awesome, okay. Hey, I could pay for the person behind me. So the woman at the window says, "Yeah, but they got a, you know, mocha, kamocha, malachi, oki, laki, dadi, lati." And I was like, "Really? How much is that?" You know, and they gave me the price, and I thought, I get Americano. $2.90. $2.95? I forget. $2.95. I knew they added that nickel on somewhere. And I thought, you know, I have a choice here. Oh, I'm going for it. So I just went ahead and paid for it. I thought it was rather generous of me. I think, you know, God was going, "Yeah, okay. You know, check that one off. You're in." Do you think that's the way it is? I don't think so. I think, you know, these are amazing ways to serve people and love people. Holy Spirit's going to lead us to really super amazing things that aren't on this list. And they count. They count. You know what they really say, though? You love Jesus. Because you're going to be loving people. Okay, it's not like, oh, if I do the list, I'm going to make it. And if I don't, then I won't. The key thing is that you really have received Jesus. Fully, completely, no holes barred, you will do these kinds of things. You can't help it. You cannot help it. It just springs up inside of you with Holy Spirit variety of the various ways you can love on people. And some of the simplest things, a cup of water in Jesus' name, a simple little act. God's like, "That's my kid." Yep, that's my kid. Doing those simple little things. It's much easier to plan a big project and, you know, get hyped up for it and go after it. But just during the day, if you're doing something simple for someone, just loving them simply, you have to be listening to the Holy Spirit, because we're, you know, at base, we're kind of selfish without Holy Spirit. But when we're listening to Him, woo, we become generous and we like to spread it around, spread around His love. Okay, enough of that. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?" You know, it's not going to be you're checking off a list so you know everything you're doing for Jesus. It should be such a lifestyle you don't even remember. When did we do that? What year was that? What time was that I did that, Lord? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So again, they don't have a lifestyle of love. They have a lifestyle of life is for me. Life should please me. And if you're noticing that as the main part of your lifestyle in your life, and yet you believe you've received Jesus, there might be something you want to go to him about and talk to him about, if it's all about you. Because Holy Spirit does not ever say that. It's all about you. You're my son, you're my daughter, it's all for you, but the whole thing is not about you. I give you so many blessings, so much favor, so you can spread it around. That's the joy of having it. Not, oh, I'm going to keep it all to myself. That's the joy of being a Christian. That's how we get into the prosperity gospel problem. God wants to make us prosperous. I'm convinced of that. Everything in the Old Testament, New Testament, it just seems like they're always building something with gold, you know? Streets are gold. Everything's gold. If he wanted us to be, you know, not prosperous, he wouldn't have said anything about gold. Building things with gold. He would have said, build a shack out of balsa wood. Cheap. And if it breaks, then your brother who's in the balsa wood shack that survived can help you. And you'll be down to a rock before long. You know balsa wood's going to stand against this. That's good, because you'll have less. You know, I don't see that. But I also don't see that it's all about us. Let's fly the jet by myself. Let's not bless anybody else. When I get a nice car, if I get a nice house, don't let anybody in to sit on the furniture. I believe in letting the dirt come in. Use what you have. You know? Use what you have for the Lord. What he gives to you. And you'll be doing many things that just show you love him. You'll love him. You really love Jesus. You don't have to sit with a list and check them off. Yep, did the prison thing. Yep, did this. Yep, 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 yep. You can just say, I'm loving him. He's loving out through me. Gosh, I don't even know why I want to bless that person today, but I do. And you're going to say, that's Holy Spirit. That couldn't be me. Huh. I'd keep this for myself, but I want to give it away. The Spirit is willing. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. That's the good news. He already has made you willing. All you have to do is tap into the willing Spirit. Not think, oh my gosh, my flesh is so strong, I never seem to get to that willing Spirit thing. No. Speak into the willing Spirit. I'm willing. I am willing. And before long, you're giving away things and helping people and sacrificing your time. And it's not even a sacrifice anymore. It's kind of fun. It's kind of joyful. And you're going to the nations. You're going to the neighborhoods. You're going downtown Canton, and you're enjoying it. You're chasing people around in Walmart. Oh, this is great. Woo! Fun, fun, fun. People at work. Oh, my gosh. They can come back on you, you know. And you're going ahead and praying for them. Right in front of everybody. And you're going, how did that happen? I'm a chicken heart. It's because Holy Spirit's inside of you. And he's continuing to say, look at the harvest. Look at the harvest. Hear the cries. Hear the cries. It's not about you. It's not about your needs, problems. It's about the harvest. It's about the harvest. Before long, some of those problems you thought were so big, those are nothing. I've got... There's three people here that have received Jesus. Ah! Are you thinking about your problems then? No. No, you're not. You could have a penny in your pocket and that's all you have for the week. You don't care. Three people just received the treasure of a lifetime. Is that right? That's right. That's right. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You know, you don't become righteous, you are righteous. He starts out with you being righteous. You can grow to enjoy it more, to have it extend more, but he starts out saying, you're a son, you're a daughter, you're in the family, you're righteous, you're a saint, whether you feel like one or not. When you're truly his, you're all of those things that you don't deserve. If you think anyone in this room deserves any of the good titles and names that he gives to us, none of us deserve to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you kidding me? We could never, ever, ever, ever get to the place where we could have it written in there. Nobody gave it to us. Gave it to us. Don't you want to be responsible for having more people's names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I do, and I want to grow in that. I want to have more of the compassion that Jesus has for people. And we can receive that as we gather together, as we challenge one another, as we go with each other to these places where people are especially needy. But we had a couple people receive Christ the week before we took off for Indonesia right in this body. There might be someone that your spirit says, whoa, I might need to share a little bit of Jesus with someone in this body. They might really need to bend their knee to Jesus, even though they come here. Or in your household. I know some of you are contending for people in your family. I was the first Christian in my family. Wow. That was a privilege. I got to tell so many of them about the Jesus that can transform my life. So my sister received Jesus. My mom received Jesus. My dad received Jesus. And I didn't know what I was doing. But he just kept working in me, giving me a heart for them. I'd speak to them when the moment was right. And Holy Spirit led it. And otherwise, I lived my life before them. And it was enough. They saw Jesus. And they received him. Wow. I've just got a brother left. The poor guy. He has no hope of ever missing heaven. Because he's the last. He's the last recruit. He's the last to be rescued. We're going to pull him onto the lifeboat. When my sister died, he said, I love you. I don't think that was from him. I think that was from God. Just to let me know. It's getting closer. When we had malaria, he came down to visit. He saw the two of us, Pastor Mary Pat and myself, with malaria. He saw how bad she was. The next report he got when he went home was, she walked out of the hospital. He's still trying to get over that one, I know. I went up to my niece's wedding. He made the mistake of having me pray. What was wrong with him? I said, why don't we just all put our hands towards the bride and groom? They were like, I mean, this is at the top of Michigan. The best churches, they don't know how to lift their hands yet. And so they went, okay, so here's all these unbelievers putting their hands towards the bride and groom. And I cleansed it so it'd be a blessing. But it was awesome. They stepped in for just a minute into what it's like to be a son and bless somebody just for that 1 second. And my brother, he was like, Why did I ask him to pray? I could see it on his face. What was I thinking? What was I thinking? It's okay. He'll get there. He'll get there. I love it. He's on his way. He's going to be delivered to the king. So in Colossians 3:12, it says, put on compassion. How in the world do we do that? Well, the only one that has it enough to affect anybody is Jesus. So we just say, more of Jesus. I'm putting on more of Jesus, and I will have more of compassion. I will let him root out the selfishness in my life, the self-serving in my life, the things in my life that are holding me back from having eyes for the harvest field. I'm just going to let you do that, Lord. I'm going to let you wash it out of me. I'm going to let you take it away from me. Enjoy. I'm going to have the refreshing repentance that the Bible talks about. I'm not going to have the nose in the dirt repentance where I think I can grovel enough and beg enough that God will forgive me. He's already forgiven. I can raise up and declare from the housetops, Jesus is real. Jesus can save. Jesus can heal. Jesus can deliver. You know one of the sweet things that you have that so many people don't in the body of Christ? You have the full revelation that he doesn't just save. This is a big deal. It is a big deal. All the churches I grew up in, Jesus saves. That was it. He might heal. Maybe. But he decides. He's just going to decide. Well, I'll heal that person. Oh, I guess I'll heal that person. Some even went as far as putting oil on a person's head by elders. That was radical. But no one, even when I was sick growing up, ever put their hand out to, you know, cast something off me or break something off me or be healed in Jesus' name. That just did not happen. It's a new day where we accept that Jesus heals, wants to heal, wants to tear down the works of the enemy. He wants to, you know, create chaos in the kingdom of darkness. He wants them running every which way, like those passengers on the, you know, ship as it's going down. No lifeboats. They're running like crazy all around trying to search for a lifeboat. He wants the kingdom of darkness in confusion. He loves it. And so he's going to heal. We had a Muslim woman come to a meeting. She looked like she was in a wheelchair, a duck out of water. She, you know, didn't even know why she was there necessarily, other than she heard something about healing. Do you think she would have come if someone said, you know, this meeting's about salvation? No, she wouldn't have been there. But because it was about healing, she heard, you know, and sometimes in Indonesia they kind of pass the word, the healers are here. We're the healers? Well, we represent the healer. Let's be honest about it. But, you know, rumors pass around, and they affect people. And so they come to meetings they really shouldn't be at. But they're at there. They're there. So here's this elderly Muslim woman that's had a stroke, and she's just hoping for something from God. She believed in God. But, you know, just had a few problems as to which God it really was, the true almighty God or some fabrication by some prophet that wasn't a prophet, I guess. If it's not the right God and you're a prophet of that God, I guess you're not a true prophet. Okay, so she comes to the meeting in the wheelchair and, you know, people went over, engaged her in conversation. I went over, Pastor Mary Pat, I think. And so she's prayed for in the meeting. I forget how it all went down and everything. She decides, okay, well, I was prayed for, and, you know, these are the healers. This is what I'm thinking. She's thinking in her mind. These are the healers, so I guess I should get up out of the wheelchair. We're actually ministering to other people. We're not ministering to her at the time. She decides, I'm healed. I'm getting up out of the wheelchair. So we're ministering to other people. She gets up and starts walking around up and down the aisle. And there's people that helped her or brought her or something. They're following her. And they're going, hey, we're over here, you know, ministering. And they're going, hey. They're pointing out to us. that she's walking up and down, and she's got a beam on her face. She is beaming. And she's got something wrong with her foot still, but she's beaming. She's believing beyond what hadn't been done yet. She was starting to sow into the ground of, it's been done. It's over. The battle has turned. She was on that page. And we weren't sitting there going, okay, now this is, you know, sow into that ground. The battle has been won. And then you'll, you know, you'll start to feel the power of God. And we weren't saying anything to her. She was receiving revelation directly from the Spirit of God. And she's going up and down the aisle, and they're pointing out, hey. Awesome. They couldn't say it was the healers. Good day. No, because she got up on her own. Started walking up and down the aisle, if I remember it right. So, she receives Jesus. Why not? She just received Jesus. It's simple. It's the best evangelism program you can have, is believe in the other things that God does. Healing, deliverance. We had a person in a meeting that was a Buddhist. Other people had shared with her. Yes? Saved first? Okay, save first. That just messed up my point. Jeez. Lo and behold, Holy Spirit does it differently than what I thought. It's the way it works all the time. I stand corrected. No, I'm glad it was corrected. I was probably doing worship, you know, I don't catch everything. Okay, so don't believe what you hear here, you know, just don't believe it. So you're trying to now make an excuse for my confusion. Oh, it's awesome. Spoken like a true mate. Woo! Sweet. Okay, let's just leave it at this. It was a big testimony, and I screwed up all the details. But on this Titanic stuff, it's in print. You can check it out, okay? Just check it out. Okay, that's the last time I'm going to talk about somebody's testimony that I'm not directly involved in. So the point is, that people are changed in a meeting like that by God working on them directly, but we're the initiators. We can be the initiators. And sometimes we're going to have our hand on a person and they're going to get healed. It happens a lot and it's awesome. You're not the healer. We don't claim to be the healer, but it's just great that it's a new day that we actually put our hand out there. That we actually think people might have some demonic influence. Especially when they're spinning around and rolling on the ground in the dirt. It's a little easier to see in Africa, but obviously people in this country have demonic influence. Are we looking for a demon under every bush? Well, we're not looking. They just show themselves many times. And we have the ability, because of the power of Jesus inside us, the authority of Jesus, to do something about that. Cooperate with the Spirit of God. We're not trying to be the, you know, head cowboy, but he allows us to partner with him and minister to people. It's the joy of being a believer. It's the joy of being a Christian. It's awesome. So I want to hear some of the real testimonies, not the ones that I make up. From Indonesia, so we're going to ask Michelle to, she's prepared, what, 10, 12? 15, 20, 25, 30. Whatever you want to do. It's your time. Share some things from Indonesia that actually happened. Go ahead, finish that out.
Meeting. Hello. We were in a meeting in the back of a woman's shop, a fairly large group, and there was, this is when Pastor Bill was worshiping and someone got healed during worship. Then there was a call for healing and people came forward and received prayer for healing, and a lot of people got healed in that meeting. Oh, no, this is the wrong picture. Keep scrolling. And a scrolling. All right. Hey, there's the woman in the wheelchair. She's right. That's her when she first got wheeled into the meeting.
See, she's real.
I took the picture. I remember. Troy can come up here. And there she is walking. Yeah, she was rip-roaring and ready to go. She, I was taking videotape of her after the fact, and she told me, I come from a family of Muslims. There's no Christians in my family. But I felt the power. She said she felt the power of Jesus when the gospel message was preached. Pastor Mary Pat gave the gospel at the beginning of the ministry time. About 16, 20 people raised their hand and prayed out loud the prayer of salvation. I was watching her. She was praying the prayer of salvation in her wheelchair. Nothing had been, well, I guess it was a healing meeting, so a lot had been said about healing. But so she received Jesus, and then she said when actually the first wave of healings happened with a bunch of headaches, where you called up, you had a word of knowledge for people with headaches in number of people stood up and got healed, and she said she started to feel the power of God in her body. She could feel the fire of God, and she knew Jesus had power, she said, and she knew that she wanted to get out of her wheelchair and that tonight was her night. So she even spoke out. She doesn't want to be in her wheelchair anymore. So it was awesome. And then in the other meeting where Pastor Bill was singing and I was just talking about, there was a Buddhist woman who came forward, and her heart was stirred about Jesus and decided she wanted to give her life to the Lord. So when the pastors started to lead her in a prayer of salvation, actually she stopped being able to talk. There was a spiritual stronghold gripping her, and she couldn't actually physically speak out to pray to receive Jesus. It was really intense, and you could see her struggling, and she couldn't open her mouth. So bind the demons and cast some things out, and then she was able to speak out and pray the prayer to receive Jesus. So that was amazing, just to see the Lord come in and rescue this woman, you know, from that demonic hold. And I don't know if you remember anything else from that.
It was actually, the reason that she accepted the Lord is because we had this meeting with all these people getting healed, and she saw the Spirit of God touching people and bringing healing, and then she came up as a Buddhist and wanted to receive Christ. So it was really cool to see, you know, just how it says in Mark 16 that signs and wonders will follow him, will follow those who believe.
And then I'll share one last one about this wonderful woman here. She has been a pastor for many years before. She's up in years, and she had sort of retired. I mean, she had retired. And Pastor Mary Pat and I were called over to pray for her because she was in really desperate condition. Her kidney problems were so bad that she was going in for dialysis 3 times a week. And her family, and it actually, we weren't even able to at first fit her into the schedule, but the Lord worked it out. Some things were happening around town, and we actually were able to go over there. So her family was there, and she said, so we were there to pray for her kidneys. So we start praying for her kidneys, and she starts to feel fire in that area and strength go into her body. So after this happened, Pastor Mary Pat had 2 words of knowledge. 1 word of knowledge was, do you have a heart problem? Which we hadn't been brought there to pray for. We had no idea about a heart problem. But it turns out she had a heart problem, and so we prayed for that. And she, as an act of faith, we encouraged her to do something she couldn't do before. So she stood up abruptly off the couch and basically all but ran across the room, which she hadn't been able to do before at all. Her granddaughter was stunned because she had not seen her move with that much energy, you know, since she's had this problem. It was amazing, and she just really took that step of faith. And then Pastor Mary Pat had another word of knowledge, and you can see she's wearing glasses, but Pastor Mary Pat thought, is there anything wrong with your eye that goes beyond just, you know, you're having glasses? Is there something? She said, oh my goodness, nobody knows this really, but when I was 60 years ago, she said, a coconut shell fell into her eye, and her right eye, and blinded her. For the most part. So when she would try to read, all she could see was like there would be lines. It distorted, yeah, her vision. So after she'd, you know, been healed of her kidneys and everything and had all the energy surge in her body, she was really stirred up. So we got her some small print to read, and I don't know if there's not the picture of that. We have a video. Do you want us to show a video or no?
It's up to you. Your time.
Yeah, it's a short video. It's a good video because it shows the healing taking place. So she, as you'll see in the video, started to, you know, cover her eye, and her whole family's at this point crowded around. You know, people are coming from down from upstairs to watch this, and so she can't read at first, but then all of a sudden, you know, 30 seconds later, she starts to read with her eye completely covered, completely healed, and so you can see the clip here. That sounds like it didn't download all the way. Or, okay. Oh, there it is. That was her reading. She has a very low voice. After... So they're asking how long have you had this? So after this, Pastor Mary Pat started speaking into her life and prophesying over her that your preaching days are not over, that you will go back to preaching, you will reach more for the lost. And she was so stirred up, and I was so touched, because it's like the Lord brought us there into this family to bring the healing anointing of God. She gets healed, and then she gets stirred up, and she's going to go, at her age, to stirred up to go back to preaching, going back to reaching the lost. And the Lord, you know, he brings his healing power and his anointing. I saw it so much on this trip, that it's to draw others into the kingdom, but it's also to restore destiny to lives. People who have, you know, retired, or people who have felt like, you know, this is it for me, which was really the case here, you know, to be stirred up again to go and reach the lost. It's so amazing. The healing just goes beyond that moment. You know, it goes beyond even the crowd there that's going to come to the Lord because of the healing. It goes into the life of that person. The Lord wants is touching people in this season unto something else so that they can fulfill their destinies. They can have destinies restored. Their families can be restored. We saw that happen so many times, you know, and it can all be triggered by a healing. It's this domino effect that happens in the spirit, and we're in a season of acceleration. And we saw so many times on this trip that the Lord would not just touch an individual, but he would touch their family. You know, the Muslim woman in the wheelchair, she was actually brought to the conference by a gentleman who's her servant boy, basically. I mean, he lives in the house. He's basically family. And he pushes her around all day. And he, I believe, had been healed or touched or something the day before. And he brought this woman to the conference. So it's just this domino effect that goes out in the spirit. So believe beyond just the healing in front of you. You know, the Lord wants to bring us to a place where we're not just contending for that one individual, but it's for who that individual is going to touch. It's for everybody watching around. And the Lord is really doing that in this season. So it's really exciting to see.
And along that line, there was in Singapore, one of our contacts, Pastor Bill and I were ministering in his church that he was kind of handing over to one of his sons, you know, in a transition period. And he started sharing about a vision he had to start a new work in another country. And so, you know, he's sharing that with us. We get together for lunch with Pastor Murray Pat and Michelle and his wife, who were at a different church. And then when we all came together for lunch afterwards, as we were praying for him on the sidewalk, for some needs in his life, Pastor Ray Pat just starts prophesying over him exactly what he'd shared he's praying about and feels that the Lord wants him to do, but he's like 80%, he said, and Pastor Ray Pat just starts prophesying it out as she's praying, as he's getting touched in his body, just goes down on the sidewalk in Singapore below our, you know, this 30-story, you know, hotel, goes down in the street. I'm holding him up, you know, with my knees so that he's not just like laying out in the street. I'm in the street. And, you know, he's getting touched, just testifies the power of God, the fire of God's touching him. And so we just believe he's touching. But like Michelle's saying, it's not just about a moment or a thing or a discomfort. It's for destiny. It's for life. You know, that's why God does this stuff. Maybe go to another. This young boy, we're in a meeting, and I don't know if you shared it all, but about this meeting, there were 70 people there, and it was a home meeting. And a lot of them actually were in the professional field, doctors, lawyers, whatever, professional field. Well, Spirit of God, after worship, after a time of impartation from Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, just starts breaking out in words of knowledge. People are coming up. Pastor Mary Pat has people coming up, getting healed of just everything. Everyone getting healed. Like 4 people up for stomach problems, all healed. You know, 5 people up for knee problems, all healed. And just kept going. Well, this young man was actually in a Bible school training, but he was pretty young. He's probably about 20-ish, which is pretty young. I'm young, and that's pretty young. And so as we're after this time of intense healing, there was a release of the fire of God, and as Pastor Bill is worshiping and just bringing in the presence of God, the Spirit of God, Pastor Mary Pat was praying for people around the area there, and it was just like they were flying. I mean, people were just, it was all I could do to catch them from, they were flying. It was really crazy. No catchers there. It was just me, Lawrence, wherever you are. From that message you were talking. So anyways, they're just all going everywhere. Well, I come up, I really felt led. I'd seen this boy before the meeting, young man, and that's kind of funny. So anyways, I'd seen him before, and I just felt led afterwards to go find him out and talk to him. And as I'm talking to him, say, what's, find out his story, he's a pastor, et cetera, and suddenly discover, he's like, yeah, and I was healed. And I said, you know, of a leg problem. And it dawned on me, I remember seeing him beforehand and he was walking with a limp. And he was just, and I had seen him and I noticed that. Well, I said, you got healed. When did you get healed? And he said, well, it was when, you know, the fire prayer was going on. I said, well, why didn't you come up for prayer for healing? And he said, well, I was too shy. I said, well, the Lord wants to give you a spirit of boldness. But but the Lord knew, so we get that testimony for him and also for us that, you know, that God knew his problem. And even though that wasn't the prayer for that thing, he touched it, he met his need, and now he can walk out and preach the gospel where he's going without a limp. So that's really nice. So that was cool for this young man. So we were praying more for the release of God and some other prophetic things. We can go to the next one. Did you want to share about Mr. Widodo, or did you want me to? Or you love Mr. Widodo. Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat and Michelle stayed in their house last year, so we've actually known this family for all three trips we've been there. A really neat couple. Mr. Widodo is a very laid-back kind of gentleman, and so he came up at the conference and asked for prayer, and just actually, I was there videotaping and took Pastor Mary Pat's hand and put it on his head and said, pray for me. And I don't think he told you any details about anything, just said, pray for me. And that was it. And he speaks a bit of English. So after the conference, and we'd had another time where we were over at their house and talking and praying and stuff, the day he went and got tested, he's had kidney problems for 10 years. And so we know that, I mean, he was in the high blood pressure too and kidney problems. And to go together a bit. And so he came and we had breakfast together the day we were leaving. That was the day we left, huh? And I had breakfast together and we weren't going to do it. It wasn't going to fit, but then it all worked out and we were able to meet with him. And he shares that he went to the doctor the day before and the kidney values were normal and his blood pressure was normal after 10 years. And this is someone we've known for, you know, all three trips. And so just to see God pour out in this Widodo family, I think you already shared about Tanya, what was happening. That picture hasn't been shown yet. Yes. Well, if you want to share about Tanya.
The Lord just exploded in this entire family. I mean, and so many times on this trip, a reoccurring theme in the Spirit was that God is a generational God, that he wants to bless the generations. He wants to bless entire families. He wants to see breakthrough. And, you know, and she's the third generation of Widodo family. She's the granddaughter of Mr. Widodo. And Tanya, dear, lovely sister in the Lord, I shared a room with her last year, and she just got lit up for the Lord. She would come with us, and she started a minister with us, and we've shared some of the things that that she did with us and prayed for people for healing. And then here she is at our Kingdom Invasion Conference. Pastor Mary Pat just calls her up without warning and says, Tanya, you know, I want you to help me here. And so talked about Tanya's testimony and that she had prayed for someone for the first time in her life for healing on our trip last year and saw them get instantly healed. So had her go up. And as you see, Tanya's laying hands on this gentleman here who had a headache. And so she was praying for him for healing, and then he testified that his headache went away. And just to see the Lord, this is the same person who, I think last Sunday we showed, after the Kingdom Invasion Conference, she'd been so stirred up with the fire of God. She said before she'd felt stagnant in the Spirit, she'd felt stagnant in her walk with the Lord, but she got totally lit up, and she started having meetings at her house with other youth and from a church, and they were getting lit up. There were Muslims there who I believe got saved. There were people... Oh, yeah. Right. This is the man here. This is the day before. The man who was the servant of the Muslim woman in the wheelchair. So there's Tanya, who got touched last year and this year by our team and the Lord, praying for the guy who ended up bringing the Muslim woman who got healed. So it's just like boom, 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 domino effect. And the Lord just really exploded in that entire family. And I mean, from the grandchildren to Pastor Mary Pat's already testified, the sister of Mrs. Widodo was the one who was basically used by the Lord to prevent the cult leader, Son Yong-moon, from coming into Indonesia. I mean, the Lord is just totally exploding in that family. So it was really amazing to see.
Another picture. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Stop. Well, actually, this is someone that you guys recognize. This is actually Ina here. This is her brother, Tony, the older, slightly, the older of the two in the picture. And his son, Christoph. And last year, one leg was shorter than the other, and he had some, you know, noticeable limp, you know, walk with that, right? And so last year he was prayed for, and the legs were just, Lord lined it up, healed his legs. And so this is a year later, his father was so excited to just show again, look, it's still lined up, they're still healed. And so we got the picture because, I mean, it was fun because he's like, yeah, look at the legs. So next picture. This woman is actually, she was on her way to the meeting with her daughter, our conference, and she was really having a lot of stomach pains and just really uncomfortable in her stomach. She wanted to stop at the drugstore and get something, and her daughter said, no, we're late, let's go. And so she wasn't able to go and get what she wanted to get. And so she came to the meeting, she got prayed for, and the Lord healed her. And so that's awesome. I told her she could put it in the offering box, you know, tithe to the church, you know, because rather than give it to the pharmacy. But so anyway, it was just neat because, you know, we have our ways, and yet Jesus, he's the master healer. Next picture. This man had had problems with his knees for a year and also with his back for 6 months. So we have video of him where he's jumping up and down, testing out his knees, running, jumping, just excited that after a year his knees feel great and then his back was healed as well. So that was really awesome. And I think there's just one more picture, maybe. No, keep going. We did it. We did it. We did it. We did it. We're done. There was a whole bunch of other things that happened. Definitely go to the website, and you can look at more of the healings and salvations and all that. But it's just awesome, awesome mission. Thanks for your support and prayer. You guys are what made it possible. So,
thank you. There were some people that... one or two that I can remember, and I'll trust their memory more than mine, I guess, but we would say to them, you know, want to pray for your ear, yeah, okay, so we'd pray for their ear, and then they'd say, no difference, so the relative would go out a little ways and start speaking to them in a normal tone, and they'd say, yeah, I can hear that, go out a little farther, yeah, I can hear that. And they'd, you know, go way out, and they said, no, I can't hear that. And then we'd say, well, what do you think? Oh, I don't think there's much change. And the relatives are celebrating because they've been right up next to the person speaking in their ear. So sometimes people don't even realize the gifts that God has given them. And isn't that so often true with us? We don't realize inside of us the gifts that God has extended to us, the ability to partner with him and see change in people's lives. We're always kind of, oh, well, you know, that's probably making excuses for God. He doesn't need any excuses any longer. Before these days, it's been us. In these days, if something doesn't happen, it's something here on earth, it's not God. He is more than willing to do some amazing things in people's lives. The problem is always here. It's not with him. And it's not with his heart to heal. It's not with his desire to heal. Jesus went around and he just would pop them off one right after the other. He didn't sit there and consider for 2 weeks, well, I don't know. I'll think about you. I don't know if I want to heal you. It was you know, one right after the other. So we already know his heart. We just have to continue to press in to understand more of what needs to change in us to line up with that heart. So more happens. Amazing things happen with people. And then it explodes to their household. He loves to bring salvation to household. And like Michelle was sharing, domino effect. Boom, 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 boom. It goes through the household. That's what he's all about. The same with healing. The same with marriages that need healing. He loves to see that happen. We met with a couple in our last week in Indonesia a couple of times, and God accelerated the amount of time it would normally take to get to know them and, you know, break the ice, and we hadn't known them before, and so, you know, that sometimes takes a while, and he just accelerated all that to the point where the person is just spewing out what's really inside their heart in front of the entire family at a family meeting. I mean, what's deep down there, no barred, this is what I'm feeling about my wife, this is what I'm feeling about Jesus. And it's like, so the first thing that comes to our heart is, what do we do with that, Holy Spirit? Because I don't know what to do with that. I don't know where to go with that. He's telling the whole family. And it's not like they didn't know, but probably had never heard it spewed forth like that. But something was going on in his heart. It was a reaction to the Spirit of God working in him. So I was just like, what do I say now, Holy Spirit? And he said, invite him into a private room. Okay, yeah. So would you like to go into a private, you know, discussion of this? Yes, I would. Okay. So we were actually meeting at his brother's house. So we go up into his brother's bedroom with the wife, him, and his sister, who could translate a little bit. They both spoke English, but it just helped to have her that knew a little bit more English translate. And very quickly, in an accelerated fashion, God got to his heart. Just a few moments before, he was saying he hated Jesus in front of the family. And it accelerated to the point he's receiving Jesus. Wow! That's awesome. And then the two of them asked forgiveness of one another. And then they spoke life into one another, because it's not just in the asking of forgiveness. It's what good do I see in you? I ask forgiveness, God, for spewing forth all this stuff I see in you, in my wife, my husband, whatever. But what good do you see? You should have new eyes to see. And sure enough, they shared back and forth what good things they saw. And were even laughing and giggling at the end of it together. And so they wanted to see us off at the airport. And that, I think that was the next day or 2 days later. And so they came to the airport. You could literally see the darkness had been lifted off of them. And they were still working on their relationship. You know, neither one of them were totally, absolutely jumping up and down, thrilled that everything had been solved, which is typically the case. You know, you need to go further and further steps, more and more healing, deeper, deeper, deeper. It was real. And they shared some things they wanted adjusted, but they were still giggling with one another. Joy had entered in, and joy is going to get it done for them. The joy of Jesus is going to bring them closer and closer and closer, so that they aren't the issue. The harvest is. The harvest is. So whatever we're dealing with today, it can't be the major issue in us. We have to give that to him. We have to cast all our care upon him, because he cares for us. We have to, in order to be effective in the harvest field. So that's the point today. Allow him to give you that fresh, new compassion for other people, for people that need Jesus, those that need to be rescued. Get on his page of it's about the harvest field, getting in his presence and then going out where the needs are huge. They need rescued out of the clutches of hell. Hey, that's a bigger problem than any of us have in here that have Jesus. I don't care what our problems are. That's a bigger problem. And so we can partner with God to rescue them. So, Father, we just pray that out today. We know we need you and your compassion inside of us to even reach out with a more compassionate heart. We have to put you on. We have to allow you in your presence to work inside of us. That we enjoy your presence, but then we allow your presence to give us the same eyes that you had, Jesus. And that is to see the harvest field and desire that that harvest be brought in before it's too late. For any person individually or for the nations, ultimately, there will come a day when the sheep are separated from the goats. And Lord, we don't want to feel like we have not filled up a lifeboat. We want to fill that lifeboat up, Father, under the power of Holy Spirit, with the eyes of Jesus and the love of the Father. Bring that to our hearts, Lord. Bring that to our conscious self, Lord. Bring that to us on a moment-by-moment basis. And when our problems seem too big and block that in our hearts, may we repent of not letting you solve our problems, solve our needs, reach into the depths, deliver us if we need that, heal us up on the inside of hurts on the inside, so we'll be ready, willing laborers for the harvest with joy, not as a duty, but it's just who we are because you're so strong within us, Holy Spirit. We thank you for that. We bless each person with that today. We give it out in great measure because you've given it to us in such great measure. We reach out with the answer. You, Jesus, you're the answer. So that they can have healing, deliverance. They can have freedom to become a laborer in the harvest field as well. Father, unto this house and unto the households of this house and unto the households that will be affected by the households in this house, Lord, we just say let it go like that domino effect, like that multiplication effect into the harvest field. Father, there are enough Christians that have the full revelation of salvation, healing, deliverance, and who you really are, Jesus, to affect the entire earth right now if we never have revival. There are enough because with 11 plus Paul, you changed an entire map of their day. So certainly there are more than that now. And you said we'll do greater works than you, Jesus. So we can touch the nations. We can affect change here in our community, here in Ohio, and unto the nations. We believe it, Lord. Use us. Use us. And let joy fill our hearts as open vessels to you. We bless your name. We praise you, God. Let no person in here feel condemned or shamed. Let every person in here receive your love. But Lord, we do want to be challenged. We do want to step up. We do want to step out. And we want to release the things that have been holding us back. We do that also, Lord. We receive your love, but we release. We let the things that have been holding us back fall off of our life as we repent to you. But we repent with joy. We repent because it's refreshing. And we receive all your encouragement. We receive all your cheering and your song over us in this process. We give you the praise. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Lord.
Just want to mention that if you're part of Frontline Training Center, I'm teaching a course. It's called Moving in Realms of Healing. Is that right, Rach? Moving in Realms of Healing. And I've taught the first class already. There are three more. If you're part of FTC and you want to be part of that, I encourage you to talk to Tom. If Tom is over here, this arm raised. There is a video of the first session, and there is some homework. It's fun homework. that was from the first session. If you're not part of FTC, you can take it another time. But if you are, we'd really love you to take this course, especially if you've gone overseas with us early on. Because sometimes we think, oh, yeah, I've seen that before. And the Lord's going to shake us up. That's really what we heard from a few who testified. But also new ones who have not gone overseas or maybe new to going overseas. But we really want to see an increase, and we're believing we're seeing that not just in here in this house and not just in our own homes, but also on the streets in this region and beyond. And we believe that God has things to say to us, to increase us, to increase the healing anointing, the healing virtue on the inside of us. Last night we had such a powerful release of deliverance, healing, during our time of corporate worship for 24/7 prayer. Just encourage you to come tonight, and also encourage you to, if you have a child, if you have children, get a babysitter for this Thursday. Think about it ahead and come so that we can have some interaction here. And, you know, please don't just show up and say, hey, I wanted to be here. Sorry, I couldn't watch the DVD. We're asking that you would invest the time and interest to do that if you want to be part of this. We see miracles and healings overseas. This is so common. And it's just like Michelle said, five people come up, they get healed. It's just healing waves are following us where we go. And we want to see this for every person in frontline, not just for Pastor Mary Pat, who's praying for people, and there's a whole bunch of people flying, and we go, wow, that's really cool. And it is cool, but we want everyone to be able to see the fruit of their labors, and that everyone is able to walk in these areas of healing anointing. And so I just encourage you to be part of it and come expecting that you're going to be changed in the midst of that you're going to be drawn closer to the Lord, that you are being changed, and that you can do the work of the kingdom that way. So just encourage you to think about that, and see Tom if you wanted to be part of FTC and this